Welcome, welcome, welcome to the listening audience in the Antelope Valley. Greetings to you from Voices of Reason in the Valley. I have a wonderful speaker today. Our topic today is we're talking about the Holy Ghost in the and Pentecost, and then we're going to connect that with mental health in the Black church. Amen. We have a dynamic speaker today. Her name is Dr. Antoinette Brookins. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a senior pastor's wife. She is the owner and clinical director of Antoinette Brookins and Associates Family Counseling Corporation. It's a group psychotherapy practice that specializes in Christian psychology. So welcome, Lady Nett.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I count it a privilege and an honor every time I get to speak about the topic that the Lord has blessed me to be educated in.
Amen. And that's Christian counseling and therapy and all of that. And that's what we're going to talk to you about.
Okay. So
I want to just start off about and talk about Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday is celebrated the seventh Sunday after the Easter, Easter, or the we call it Resurrection Day. And so we celebrate the experience that took place when the early church or the New Testament church was actually established in the earth. God poured out his spirit. Jesus rose from the dead. He stayed on earth 40 days and then he went to heaven. 10 days after that, he told his disciples to go up to Jerusalem and to wait or to tarry until he endowed them with power from on high. Pentecost simply means 50. Amen. And so what God did is he sent his promise that he spoke through the prophet Joel, and even in the garden, that messianic prophecy in Genesis 3:15, we see how the Lord has been faithful and he poured out his spirit upon the souls of, and first to the Jew and then to the Greek. And we have a modern day a situation with Azusa Street here in the United States. And we celebrate that Azusa Street revival happened. It was William Seymour and some more, about seven other people seeking the face of God in a little house on Bonnie Bray in Los Angeles, and the Holy Ghost fell. And the Lord had moved from April 9th, I think, 1906, all the way to 1915. It was just a powerful move of God. People were coming from everywhere and God was slaying them in the spirit. And so we celebrate Pentecost because that is the power of God unto salvation, and it's necessary. We must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So I want to take that, with that said, this Sunday is actually Pentecost Sunday, and many churches around the globe are going to put on white. And a lot of churches are opening back up, and the saints are going to come together. The believers of Christ are going to come together and celebrate the wonderful resurrection of Jesus Christ in the wonderful day of Pentecost when they have received the born-again experience according to the Bible. Lady Nett, you are a Christian counselor, a counselor par excellence. You have a following on Facebook, Holy Ghost Homegirls, which I'm a part of. I have been blessed to actually be a part of some of your, I had to pay for it, and it's okay. I've paid for a session with you, and it's been wonderful. It was a wonderful experience. You make life fun. And it's always some kind of healing or something that we can glean from you when we participate with you. I thank you for agreeing to come. And so there seems to be, Lady Nett, a longstanding dichotomy between counseling and the Black church. So I want to talk about the Black church and basically how, you know, counseling or therapy, a lot of us as saints, we believe once you get the Holy Ghost, you good. And we spiritually we are. But what about counseling? What does counseling provide to the Christian?
Absolutely. That is a great question. So counseling for the Christian, especially if we are seeking someone who is of our Christian faith to provide that counseling service for us, it provides support, encouragement, Bible-based techniques to tackle today's issues using intensive training. So we use our intensive training, you know, as a licensed mental health professional to provide psychological help for the Christian believer. But the key here is we are using the Bible as our foundation. So anytime we go or do something that's contrary to the Bible, we are already off base, you know, and sure. I think that's a missing link with a lot of folks who are seeking counseling. As a Christian believer, are you seeking someone who actually has like beliefs as you and are using, you know, the Bible as that foundation to be able to provide the services for the Christian believer?
Wow. You are so awesome. Now, the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So does that include therapy, or is God just talking about the spiritual aspect, or is God talking about the whole man? And then we see where Jesus is a wonderful counselor. How do we interpret this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I am a firm believer, you know, in the scriptures, and, you know, the scriptures are there, and they talk to us about seeking wise counsel. Right. And so, I mean, one of my favorite scriptures that I like is when, you know, when Moses, you know, was doing all of these things. And so, you know, and then, you know, the father-in-law said, hey, gosh, all of these things that you're doing, all of these things that you're doing, you need somebody to kind of help with this, right? And so with that being said, the Lord often sends us people to help us. Yes. He sends us people to help us so that we don't have to do everything one person on their own. And so there are people here in the natural world to help Christian believers to navigate through this life that we call, you know, life in general, right?
Yes.
And so understanding that we are a spiritual being, we're having a natural experience, there has to be something that ministers to that natural person. And yes, we always consider God in everything that we do, but God has also provided us help right here on earth.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, Jesus healed the lunatic, right? So as a Christian, a counselor and having a doctorate, it's to me is so beneficial because you believe in God in the Bible and Jesus has all the answers. So I know that you believe in divine healing, but how about divine healing concerning mental health?
Yes. So, and here's the thing, because when I hear about when folks ask this question, you know, about God, you know, healing the lunatic, it's like, so we got to think about this from two different perspectives, because when God healed the lunatic, what was happening was he was actually casting out a demonic spirit. That was a demonic spirit that we were talking about. That's not mental illness. That's not a mental health issue. That was an actual demonic spirit that had overtaken this boy.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's a difference between an organic or a situational mental health issue and, you know, being bound by an evil spirit. So absolutely, I believe in divine healing for either one, though. You see what I'm saying? But we look at them differently. We look at them differently. So if we try to lay our hands on somebody and say, spirit, come out, spirit, come out, spirit, come out. It's like, but wait a minute, we're not dealing with this spirit right here. This person has depression. This is a clinical, you know, type of thing. So no different than like, you know, cancer or, you know, heart disease, any of those kinds of things. It's like, can God deliver somebody from those things? Absolutely. But our technique is much different. We're not saying, spirit, come out. I mean, although sometimes people say this, spirit of cancer, but cancer is not a spirit. It's not a spirit. That is a physical,
disease,
sickness that impacts the body. And so that's the way we need to address mental illness as well. Yes, God can heal that, but who's to say that God does not heal you through going to a therapist? Who's to say that that is not God's deliverance and healing, right?
So there is a process.
Medicine. Yes, absolutely. Yes. There's absolutely a process.
Yes. Why do you think there's so much stigma concerning therapy in the Black church among, we tend to say she got issues, he got issues, but
yeah.
Why do you think, what's the stigma all about?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of two different things. One is probably one that people don't want to say, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Systematically, us as Black folk, we have been conditioned to keep white people out of our business because we think of the white people as the oppressors. And that's one of those things that people aren't really talking about, but that's one thing that happens in the Black community in general, right? And the church is not exempt from that, by the way. But
that's
the other thing is,
yeah.
And the other thing is people are likely looking at the mental health issue as solely a spiritual condition rather than a biological or physiological condition. So we're looking at a spiritual condition. And so then when we think about spiritual conditions and people being burdened that way, then we think about sin. Right. And people don't want to acknowledge that there may be sin, even though that this is not the issue. This is not necessarily a sin issue. That's still the way people look at it. So it becomes a stigma because, I must be in sin if I'm dealing with things. Right. And then two, because probably because of the scripture that says that he is the wonderful counselor. Counselor, those two separate things, wonderful and counselor, right? And so by God being the counselor, we're saying that we should go to Jesus, we should go to God for whatever that ails us. But what we don't understand is we are taking things to God in prayer and we are using natural modern medicine and practices that do not, disassociate us from our faith. I think people look at it that way, it's messed up.
That's so interesting, sis. I didn't mean to cut you off. But because God's method has always been men. So if he can use salvation, men to take salvation to other men, surely he can use healing. He can use men to take healing to other men. Amen. This is powerful, sis. This is powerful. I think that something you said was a wonderful observation about how even Tab that comes on social media, it's my business, right? And so Tabitha Brown, she said, it's my business. And so I think at the Black church or the Black community, we tend to not trust certain populations or certain groups because of the things that they did to us, right? And so, you look at a lot of mental health comes from things that were done to us traumatically societal wise. And when you look at First Lady Obama, she had a lot of critics, but she was honest, she was transparent. And she said, look, I'm suffering from depression because of the racism in America. This lady has served two terms as a first lady of our country. But yes, she was saying she wasn't feeling good inside because of all of the things that are transpiring racially, the racial tension in our nation. So, it's a lot going on. And how do we dispel the myths concerning counseling and therapy? How do we, how do we get people that really need help? Because a lot of people that need counseling, we've had them as bosses. And even sometimes as leaders, we've had them you need to go talk to somebody because you're making all of us suffer in the workplace, right? So how do we dispel the myths concerning counseling and therapy?
One thing to understand is that you can absolutely receive mental health counseling from a Christian. So since we're talking about Black Christians, you know, okay, from a Christian and from a Black Christian, right?
Yes.
So there are plenty, probably not enough. Well, actually, it's probably a third, but nonetheless, okay, I'm gonna wrap it up. But, you know, there are cultural matching is important. Yes.
Okay.
Cultural matching is important.
Good.
So whether that's you're Black, whether that's you're Pentecostal, whether that, you know, you're apostolic, cultural matching is very, very important. So I think that's one way to really address that. But as far as like the myths and the stigma is concerned, as Christian believers, since the Bible is our blueprint, let's just go back to the Word of God.
Okay.
You know, which gives us a list of different scriptures that talk to us about the importance of wise counsel. If we look in Proverbs 12, it says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Right. And so in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there's safety. Right. So, I mean, there's just different things in the Bible that tell us about the importance of doing this, you know, and then I think we should not also negate, that was a double negative, but nonetheless, in Psalms 1:1, where it talks about, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So make sure that you are not seeking counsel from ungodly folks. That the word That's of God right. tells us that, right? So that helps to kind of bust up some of those myths that we shouldn't be, you know, receiving, you know, professional mental health counseling. Well, the Bible has given us provision to do so, but he did give a disclaimer. Do not receive counsel from the ungodly.
That's right, sis. That's right. That's right. Wow, Dr. Brookins, you are so powerful. How do we process even the whole idea of a man thinketh, as a man thinketh, so is he?
Yeah. So the mindset is everything, right? So the Bible has already identified that we were going to have an issue with mindset because there's scriptures that talks about that as well. You know what I mean? So when it talks about be not conformed into this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that's one thing, right? You know, in Philippians 4:8, it talks about certain things that we need to think on, whatever is good, whatever is just, whatever is honest, whatever is of a good report, think on these things. The Bible over and over again talks to us about our mindset. There are certain things that we need to do. And so if we keep our mind stayed on God, he keeps us in perfect peace, right? It doesn't mean that we're not going to have depression or anxiety, but as long as we stay close to the cross, he'll help to navigate us so that we can get through some of these times, even if that means he tells us in that still small voice, go see a therapist.
Thank you. You know what? I want you to talk about your book.
Okay. So I have a book, The Anatomy of Anger, A Girl's Guide to Living Her Best Life in Christ. As an ex-mean girl, God has delivered me from meanness. And that is a cancer to our souls, like that anger and things like that. And so it could be found on Amazon. It's on Audible, Barnes and Noble. Please do find it. I tell people, listen, this is not a children's book. I talk about some real, raw, and relevant things in theirs. You know, so this is specifically designed for women, but my brother read it and he said he was blessed. So, but
how
you
does
can
someone
find it
get it? How would someone get in touch with you?
HolyGhostHomegirls@gmail.com. It's the one email that every Christian girl should have.
Wow. Thank you so much. You have been
You're
such
welcome.
A blessing. I love talking to you. And we're going to wrap it up for today. We're thanking God for Dr. Antoinette Brookins, qualified, anointed, beautiful young woman. Pastor's wife, has a PhD, knows what she's talking about, says what she means and means what she says. I
Amen.
Love you, sis, and God
love
bless
you. Too.
Amen.
God bless you.
All right.